Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? For me, God loves somebody. He loves you.
To the first word once again. I'd like to thank God for bringing everybody back and helping us see another week here. Pray that you just help us all get through this first word, boy, and pray that something said to help somebody that's on the line today. So help them grow as a man and help us grow in knowledge with you. So, today is February the 12th, so we're going to be studying February 12th, I mean, not February 12th, Proverbs 12th this morning, and I'm going to start us off with a word of prayer, and then we're going to get right into it. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thanks for continuing to bless us to be able to get back on here to learn more about you and your word. Pray you just continue to bless every man online. Help us all learn more about you. And in Jesus' name, I pray, amen. So today, on the first verse, is we're starting in chapter 12 of Proverbs. I'm going to start off with the first couple of verses, and as usual, if you don't know, we basically break down each verse and go through all of them and, get all the knowledge that we can out of it. We also open up the line so we can get comments in, so it can definitely be a better dialogue so we can go back and forth and see everybody's perspective on it. So, Proverbs 12. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid. Good people attain favor from the Lord, but he condemns those who devise wicked schemes. Definitely, this is true about the one who loves knowledge and one who hates correction. I think that definitely growing up, that constructive criticism definitely helps in school and work in your life. Definitely takes some discipline for your parents and definitely on your part when you get older, for you not to say nothing on it. I know most parents, they say, you know, they don't like to do it, but they have to. You know, the Bible says you definitely have to train up a child if they should go and everything. So definitely, definitely plays a key role in our lives, especially as men. You know, growing up, if you didn't have a father, if you do have a father, you know, there is those people in line to show you how that you should behave as a man. And that, what is the word I'm looking for? That the criticism that they give you, you definitely take that with you, and you give it to your kids and everything, and you show other people. Sometimes it's not just a thing of, you know, they're just getting on you to get on you, but, you know, it might be able to save your life that one time. And that's very key. And especially the day and age that we live in now, where certain things can go wrong, and you might lose your life over a certain situation where, you know, somebody tells you to do something and you're not listening, and, you know, that could be it for you. That's what definitely takes key. So, do we have any callers on the line that would like to take a crack at these couple verses just to see, you know, what's going on?
Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree with what you're saying. You know, you're saying that whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid. You know, I believe that, you know, this verse is saying that, you know, whoever, you know, because when you get discipline, you're not getting discipline for no reason. When discipline comes your way, you're not just being disciplined because, oh, you're walking the right way and this, that, and the fourth and the other. So when you are being disciplined, it's up to you to take the lesson from it, not just taking whatever the discipline is, maybe physical, maybe mental, maybe whatever the case is, you know. So it's key that, you know, even when the discipline is going on, whether it's a setback, whether it's, you know, your parents telling you how to operate and do certain things, you don't do it that way, and you fall on your back, and then you have to go back to them. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's loving the lesson that you have to. It's wanting to know the lesson that you're going to get out of it. You know what I'm saying? And this is, whoever hates correction is stupid. Like, that's just, you know what I'm saying, that's just plain and simple. Like, that's the word of God. So I'm not going to try to make no excuses for that. That's just plain and simple. Like, you're stupid, because if somebody's here that's been here before you, you know what I'm saying, and you doing the same thing that they did, and they're sitting here and trying to tell you and show you the way, because we've been down this way before. You understand? And because I love you, so we got to get that part there too. Because I love you, I don't want you to go down the same heartache, the same headache, the same runaround, the same pettiness that I had to go through. So I'm trying to show you that I love you, and trying to help you go along your way. But see, that is when pride comes in. Because, you know, us as young men, when we have put on a couple of situations on our own, you know, we feel like we can take on the world. So it's us to, you know what I'm saying, be able to understand and have the knowledge and the wisdom to understand that the discipline is very necessary, because it's going to help me through life. You might, like I said, it might not have always been physical. It might, you know what I'm saying, whatever the case was, but it made you a better person today. I know when I got disciplined, it was physical, but it kept me out of jail. You know what I'm saying? Got me on the right path. You understand what I'm saying? So that's very, very, very key. You know what I'm saying? So I agree. Saying it on verse 2 says, good people obtain favor from the Lord, but he condemns those who devise wicked schemes. You know, I see this verse saying that, you know, see, God, you see people don't understand really what that verse means, because, you know, a lot of people give to charity, you know, these big events, and, you know, I see a lot on social media, and I'm not knocking nothing. Please don't say that, you know, Jamal is, you know what I'm saying, knocking what people are doing, but You know, when people they go to homeless people and they get them money and all of that, and that's good and that's fine and all of that, but I believe that once you put it on camera, it's no longer for the greater good. You understand what I'm saying? Like, once you put it on camera, you have to show the world this is what you're doing. You're not doing it out of the kindness of your heart. You're doing this for recognition. Because you can give all your earnings, you can give all your millions to a shelter if you did not do that for the sake of doing it out of the kindness of your heart. God does not count that. If you do it for shine, if you do it to say somebody said that he did that for them, then it's not of God. It's not of God. But that's my take on them too.
Definitely agree with what you're saying there. Oh, you can go ahead.
Anybody else? Any other comments? Anybody else? We scared now. All right, if not, you know what I'm saying, we're going to move on. Verse 3 says, no one can be established through wickedness, but the righteousness cannot be uprooted. I really like this verse because the verse is telling us that, you know, the people that, you know, the world justify to be, you know, when you look at certain things in your life and you know, you look at certain people and they say, you know, the things that they're doing, you feel like that you're doing it the right way, and you feel like you know, you're doing it the correct way, and you're still not going anywhere, and you feel like the people that are around you that's not doing, you know, they ain't doing no good. They ain't have don't have no good intentions. They don't have no intentions of doing good. You feel like that they're succeeding. You know, and God is just reassuring us is that no one can be established through wickedness, but he's letting us know that the righteous, the one that he called, you cannot be taken away. You cannot, you can't be uprooted, and you cannot be taken. But I think it's a plant. When somebody takes a plant out of the ground, they uprooted it. So that's what God is saying, that, you know, but the righteous cannot be uprooted. So God is just telling us to, you know what I'm saying, stay the course. You know, he got us. You know what I'm saying? This is, you know, they always tell us in the church, they always say in the church that trouble does not last always.
I definitely agree. That's it's definitely something that, you know, is talked about a lot. And, you know, definitely, you know, I think in the physical aspect, you know, sometimes we question, why does this go on? Why are we in certain situations? You know, why do I keep doing this and nothing's happened yet? And, you know, sometimes it's not what we see in the physical. It might be something in the spiritual that got to happen. But, you know, I think that, you know, sometimes when we talk about purpose, like me and you, when we talk about purpose and stuff, you know, we're trying to see what was going on at a certain time. And, you know, sometimes you just got to be in it for the long haul. And, you know, I was watching a game earlier this weekend. You know, I like the Spurs or whatever. So, you know, they benched some of their star players going into a long run that they were going to have to be on the road. And basically the coach was like, you know, we need them in the long run. You know, these games, they're okay, you know, but, you know, we need our star players in the end. So, you know, definitely got to, you know, analyze our situations that we're in to know that, you know, that long haul, you know, when they're like, you know, the rich may be rich, but, you know, they may not make it to heaven. You know, those certain things, riches can't get you into heaven. So, you know, and then they can't make you happy either. So, you know, definitely in this verse where it talks about the wickedness and, you know, the righteous cannot be uprooted, you know. Once you find God, you can't really lose that. You know, it always sticks with you. You know, even as you get older or you stray away, that always stays with you, you know, knowing right from wrong. So that's my take on those verses. Anybody else got any comments?
Good morning, everybody. I'm just listening to you guys and catching up on the verses and things of that nature. So, but what you guys are saying is all, you know, 100% accurate, 100% dead on. Especially with, you know, I know in the beginning verses it talks about discipline and things of that nature, and you know, I know some people look at discipline as being physical, and I think most people, I know myself, you know, I've been physically disciplined and things of that nature, but you know, I think people forget that the discipline, people look at discipline, they think of, you know, getting whoopings and getting hit, but the disciplinary part is not the whoopings or the hit, that's just the action. The disciplinary part.
Okay,
the connection
just dropped, so we'll move on. Go ahead, but I think we'll move on to the next couple of verses.
All right. So, the next couple of verses says, a wife is
go to
a wife of noble character. Yeah, number four. Says the wife of a noble character is her husband's crown. This graceful wife is like a decay to his bones. I think that in this verse, you know, definitely, you know, as your family or as your better half, your second half, they definitely, you know, as they take on, per se, your last name, or they take on what you have given them, or, you know, what position that they're in, they definitely, now that you guys are together, you know, they take on whatever you have in store for them. You're supposed to be the head of the house. So, you know, they definitely, you know, see, they're there to take care of you. You're there to take care of them. And they definitely are the piece that shows, you know, this is mine, it's my better half. I that's the way I think about that. Don't really have a wife right now, so I'm not really sure. Can you guys elaborate a little bit on that?
I mean, if you want to take it, I don't have no wife neither, but if you want to take it to, first of all, when we dissect these verses, you know what I'm saying? Like, because, see, I went to another chapter, so, Brother Anthony, read that verse again for me, number four.
It says, a wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like decay to his bones.
Okay, stop right there. It says a noble. So we have to understand, first of all, what a noble wife is. And we have to go to Proverbs 31 to even understand what a noble wife is. So, you know, and this is what I love about God. See, he doesn't. See, God not going to just throw no puzzles at you. You know what I'm saying? Like, when he tell you, like, this is what you got to do, man. He going to tell you, man, okay, this is how you do it. You know what I'm saying? This is what you look for. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, he tells us in that verse 10 of Proverbs 31 that a wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. You know, so... And it goes on, you know, goes on and on and on, and tells us that you know, verse 15 says she gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. You know, so these are the things that, you know, we have to look for in the noble wife. And, you know, sometimes, you know, and most times it's the men. If we can just keep it real for 2 seconds, that we look for the outer appearance before we even want to get to know who she is, because the outer appearance is what is appealing to us, because we are men and we you know, we go by what we see and, you know, what makes us feel good, and we don't see that, you know, she ain't got it all together. In her head, you know, she a little crazy, but now we didn't get into deep follow this chick, and sometimes we marry some of these women, And, you know, so when it says a disgraceful wife is decay in his bones, you know, oftentimes I've heard in TV shows that it says this woman's going to be the death of me. And you know, a disgraceful woman is the one that's not preparing food while it is still night, the one that is just laying around not doing anything, the one that always got some lip, always got something wrong, and always nagging, and always give me this and give me that, and see, that's what we have to look at as men, you know. Or just because shorty got a banging body, you know what I'm saying, but is she noble? Is she the noble one God told me to look for, with the noble character? So that's how we got to look at it like that. It ain't, you know, always how she look on the outside, because she could be a headache. You don't want to deal with no headache. You don't want to get off work all day, you know what I'm saying? People talking trash all day, then you get home, she talking trash too. You don't want to hear that? I'm just saying. Any comments?
I think you guys are right on track for not being married. Nobody wants to be full of drama. And I think, Dennis Jamal, you said it right. You know, we got to make sure we stay focused, not just on the physical, but make sure we take into account the spiritual side, because physical can be here today or tomorrow. And you have to focus on someone who's going to be in there for the long run and make sure that, you know, we used to call them chicken head, little pack head or whatever, is not going to come out, you know, and after a while, you know, beauty starts looking ugly because of what's on the inside that matters. You'd be like, man, how in the world did I get myself into this? And so you got to be very careful. Because it'll mess you up, man. You're going crazy. Like, wow, they got into this. She's full of drama. She's causing me headaches. Well, it's like killing you, rotting your bones. It's causing you heartache and pain because you didn't take into account the whole person, you know, physically, spiritually, mentally, and got yourself in a jam. And now you're trying to get out of it, and, you know, you mess around and go too far. Now you got all kinds of things going on. Was she trying to get into your bank account, trying to get into, you know, messing your job up, you know, just crazy. You have a baby, and now she's trying to get into your head about the baby. Now you taking care of the baby. Now she won't flip out and go with another dude, and it's just a whole lot of drama. So you got to be careful, you know. Just make sure you get with the right one. And from a person who's been married, I've been with my wife for since 1994. I was married, but I met her in 1984, and it just takes time, and you have to work and figure things out and make sure it's where you need to be.
Amen.
Any other comments? All right, it's not, I think we'll probably close out with the last verse right here, number 5. So, Proverbs 5. So the plan of the righteous are just, but the advice of the wicked is deceitful. Right, this verse definitely speaks for itself right here, you know. Just hop down to the wicked as deceitful, you know. Most wicked people sometimes don't even come at you like wicked people, you know. Sometimes they come at you trying to be your friend, trying to lead you now, trying to make it seem like they're there for you and everything. But then at the end of the day, their motive isn't always good, you know. Certain people you got to watch out for. Certain people want to lead you down the wrong way. And not see you, you know, not see you get what God has for you sometimes. You know, sometimes people like to hold you back, not even hold you back, but sometimes, like, you know, like to lead you the wrong way just so you can't make it, just so you can't see it, you know. And I think you got to watch out for those people that aren't, I'm not even going to say, you know, that are wicked, but might be being used by the devil in a way to affect the way that you need to go. That's the way I think about those verses. What you guys think?
Yeah, I definitely agree with what you're saying. It's just that I was looking at this other verse, right? It's like, it's funny, right? Because, you know, it explains a lot of people out here. And it says in verse 9, right, it says, better to be nobody and yet have a servant than pretend to be somebody and have no food. And, you know, I just thought that verse was the funniest, you know, to me, because, it's, you know, it's a lot of people out here that you think they have it. And, you know, they pretend like they got it. They got the, you know, latest Jordans and everything, and this, that, and the fourth and the other. But, you know, it's funny to me because it's like these same cats that got on these $500 outfits, that these $200 shoes and these $400 socks, they getting on the metro. You know what I'm saying? And, it, and I just find that to be so funny because, you know, I was always taught, you know, just because they flaunt it, they don't mean they got it. You know, if all their money is on their outfit, then what's in their pocket? And so it's just funny to me that, you know, verse 9 says that. And, you know, that's the key thing. You know, it's okay to be, it's okay. Sometimes they say, don't let people see you sweat. Don't let people see you, you know, in bad times. And, but I believe, you know, it's okay because we are showing people that is a God out here, you know, that Jesus is real, you know, that people know your situation, but you can still keep a smile on your face. Somebody's always watching. You know that when they know that the turmoil and the hell that's breaking loose in your life, but you still have a praise, you still have a hallelujah anyhow, you still have a good aura about yourself. You know, it's something about when you know somebody's business, and you still say, "But God," you know, people like to bring up your situations. But then before they get to bring it up, you'll bring it up because I say, I remember when, you know, but God. So that's what, you know, I want to leave everybody with, you know what I'm saying? It's okay, you know, for sometimes people let people know your business because God going to get the glory out of everything. Because even with people looking good for you, know that God's going to get all of the glory. And to know that all these people that are wanting to see your downfall, that are smiling in your face and talking behind your back, they want to be next to you for real. They want to be where you are, but they don't understand how. You know, because they know the things that you have done, they know the things that you have been through, and they don't understand how you are. You got to be better than good. You got to be blessed. You got to be chosen. So that works.
It's definitely a good verse to close out on. We got any more comments before we close out? Okay, if not, you want to close out, Brother Jamal?
Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to say thank you. Thank you for the word of today, Father God. Thank you for the this day. We ask you, Father God, to keep us having your care, Father God. We thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die for us on Calvary, Father God. We just love you. We praise you. We thank you, Father God. Be with us, Father God, in our churches, Father God, in our services, wherever they be, Father God. Bless pastors as he brings the word, Father God. Help him bring a fire word, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 All right. Until next week. First word.